agencies have done their best in a very compressed amount of time and with very few resources to develop resolutions, and then they will consider that their task is done. The Office of Planning has signaled both privately and publicly here at this meeting, not very long ago, that they are unlikely to make very many changes, if any changes, after all of this effort from the ANCs and residents. So my fear is that we will sort of let down our guard and not realize that the real decision makers are the council. And that is where we should be focusing our effort. And that there is going to be a lot of time between now and when the council will hold hearings. Phil Mendelson has said they will not occur before June. They could be as late as the fall. There is a lot of time for the public to become engaged. Typically, residents don't get engaged until there's something right before them, and that is likely to be the council hearing. So I really hope that ANCs and the community and Grassroots Planning Coalition and all of your neighborhood associations don't let up. Keep trying to learn about this document and understand that the decision makers, it's not the Office of Planning, it's the council.
Well, I also want to highlight the fact that during our next meeting, we're going to talk about the oversight hearings. So February 8th, second Saturday of the month, but we're going to talk about the oversight hearing because the Office of Planning and the Office of Zoning, they're going to be going before the council together. So we want to prepare people for that. Okay, next question.
I want to thank the ANC commissioners first for being ANC commissioners and secondly for the work on the comp plan. Meg mentioned that the real decision is the council. And I would, after you get your comments in and meet the February deadline, I think it would be wonderful if the ANCs would look at doing something in ANC solidarity. What I heard from you is you have roughly the same reaction to the comp plan, and I think it would be very powerful if the council found out what sort of a collective reaction from the ANCs is. So I urge you to explore that after February.
And Empower DC organize that Saturday.
That's a great idea.
February 8th.
I can do that. I'm bad at this.
So I was looking up my ANC and found that there are quite a few vacant seats in almost every ANC, and I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know, as far as ward to ward, what capacity we're missing. I know there's lots of valuable ways that people can contribute, but if you could just say if your ANC is missing capacity and needs people to look and see if they live in a ward that has a vacant or a delinquent ANC of some sort. So they're, you know, this is the election year, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so yeah, that might be important since this is a room full of really politically active people, if you have anything to say about that.
Everybody can run.
Yeah, anybody can run.
Right, of course. But as far as like having people available to do the work, I think having three ANCs versus contesting another, you know, primarying another person is a different case. I would encourage you to run if you want to run, but there might, you know, I think I was surprised if my own ANC was vacant.
Had vacant seats.
Several, yeah.
Right.
So I can answer that.
Yeah, 1A doesn't have any. We have 12 commissioners mostly in the whole city, and it is a well-oiled machine, believe that. And to speak to that point is, all politics is local. People have to say, you got to get out there and do it. You know, you got to tell your friends, everybody in here. I did this because my friends said it, from DC Grassroots Coalition and Empower DC. They're like, you'd be a good ANC commissioner. I'm like, okay. And I did it, and it's a lot of work. You know, as much as everybody in here is committed to a better, equitable, fair city, and so you got to run. people, and get that out there. Say, oh, you know, look at this, we have empty seats, because each voice, you know, there's more power in voices than voice. We know that, right?
So are there any vacancies on the people here?
Right.
Yeah.
It's public information.
Once he has two vacancies, and if you are, as a white man, if you're a white man, sit down. Anyone else and everyone should run, for real, please. It is so many white men that are on ANCs, so many. If you're a renter, run. Thank you.
So ANC 7F has one vacancy. Prior to, when I first got on the commission, we were gridlocked on just about every vote. And I have a member in the community here who can tell you, just about every vote was 3-3. So we did not have a tie-breaking vote. It wasn't until we were able to get somebody to run against one of the other commissioners who was really the roadblock for the commission to become more progressive, we were able to flip that seat. However, the challenge is that the seat that's open and has been vacant since 2011, I want to say, after the lines were redrawn, is the area where DC General Hillies, the Hillies community, and I really believe that that was intentional on the city, on whoever's part, to ensure that that was a vacancy. That should have never been a vacancy with all of the development, with the impending development that's supposed to go on there, at least. So certainly as there's an apartment complex that's being built there now, hopefully we'll have that 7-seat filled. But I believe that we have the only ANC in the city that over the past 6-7 years has not been filled at any point.
So Commission 8C is full. But I will tell you that, and I think I can say this across the board for a lot of the commissions, is making sure that we get competent people in the positions. Truth be told, you got a lot of good people that have good hearts and they want to serve their community, but they may be parents, they don't have time, they got to iron clothes, got to still do homework, got to make executive meeting, commission meeting. And so I think the challenge in some of this is making sure that we have people who can take on this task as well as fulfill constituent services. That makes some sense. And I think that when we talk about capacity, how do we even get some of these things on the agenda when, especially if you have a commission where there's a lot of development going on, there's only so much you can get on the agenda. So I think that having these meetings like this, so I want to give Empower DC a round of applause for organizing this and helping us get the word out. Once you get somebody elected, the work doesn't stop just by getting that person elected, so you still got to support them even in office.
So again, ANC 7E, we don't have any vacancies, thankfully, and also I'm hoping that given that your ANC does have vacancies, I'm hoping that you'll run, right?
Right.
Great, yeah, that's what we want to hear. Let's give that a round of applause. But I do want to echo what was just shared. Even though we have a full ANC, it doesn't mean that people show up. Or that they're participating. And so we have a very limited capacity. Out of all the 7 commissioners, you may have 2 that are active in this process. So our capacity is extremely limited.
Something I also want to bring up as well is committees. I believe 2 hours in a month is a lot less time that's needed to be done to fix all the ills in the community. And just because people are not at the meetings, don't make them inactive. So there's definitely other ways to get involved, even if you are not a commissioner, even if you don't have the full time to be full-fledged into the work. People are supportive of public health. People care about education. People care about public safety. People care about road safety. So I commend ANC's commissions that have committees to work on these things, and I think it's an opportunity for others to join as well, because like I said, 2 hours a month is not enough.
So initially we had slated up until 3:00, but I want to do a quick temperature check. Are y'all cool with extending it another 10 to 15 minutes? No questions? For more questions. So if you're like, yes, we should extend it, please let me know. Y'all cool with it? Okay. Yep. Okay.
My name is Dr. Oye Woluwa. I am the ANC Commissioner of AE01 as well as the Secretary of ANC 8E.
All right, so I apologize for coming in late, but one of my questions is how
were the ANCs invited to this meeting? I don't see anybody from ANC 8A here today. Well, that's what I'm saying. I wanted to find out just what it was. And the other thing I wanted to just share, just a couple of comments, is that, you know, just in working on this over a period of time, and I was one of the people who made, I proposed some amendments back there when the public was able to last year to make suggestions. But one of the things I think is really important for all the ANCs to really include is to make sure that the language in the comp plan is very definitive. It's not that loose language of, you know, may or it ought to be definite, particularly when it comes to ensuring, yes, shalls and everything. I think that needs to be something across the board. The other thing I hope would be across the board is equity in terms of the food insecurity in the city that we write into the plan. Something that really details and mandates that there has to be sufficient grocery stores and places for folks across all wards to do something. I think that's really important. And it was one, the last point I wanted to make, and I got shouted down when I brought this up at a meeting before, but I want to put it on the table for everybody to consider, is with all the development that's in the city, all these high rises and everything, we know that the vacancy rate is still very high, even in all of those. And I was told, where I was shouted down, I was told it's a tax benefit for the developers. Yes. So what you need to know is that all this development that's happening, even with all these high rises, it's in their interest to keep a lot of it vacant. We have people who need housing, and we need to have a way to make sure that, you know, with all the vacant housing that's there, that it's not for the tax benefit of the developers, but that if we're trying to ensure that people have housing, the vacant parts of all of the development that's in the city could probably house a lot of the people who don't have homes, even if they pay affordable, whatever affordable is. What they pay would be more than empty. So, you know, I think we need to build that in.
There's a gentleman in a purple shirt in the back that has had his hand up for a very, very long time behind you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Thomas Houston, and I want to go back to that collaboration point. Past 2 years, like, the word equity has been thrown around the city. Like, most people don't know what it is, let alone how to operationalize it. And so I really have an ask for you all. I know there's like a little bit of time left, but can we pick 1 to 3 policies that the ANCs across the city would support, and like not after the February deadline, but at that point, if it's not in writing, like, it's not getting in the plan. So can we support 1 to 3 policies, particularly around the health, education, and housing, that all the ANCs could support, and in that way the finger is on the city council now to say yay or nay, they're not going to put it, and if they don't, then as a city, now we can all go back, and to me, like, that's equity. If for partnership, we're all saying we specifically want these 1 to 3 policies. So the question, would you all be willing to go back to your ANCs and support for the next 2 weeks picking 1 to 3 ideas that we collectively want to put forth as policy in the comp plan?
So I'll address that really quickly because I know there's lots of questions. One of the things that we're doing, I can't commit to doing it across the city because there's just not enough time, but what we are doing is sharing our resolution across all the commissions in Ward 7. And we've asked all the other commissioners to do the same because what we do want to make sure is that there's a consistency around key areas. So we'll be doing it, but we'll be doing it at the Ward 7 level and not across the entire city. But great idea.
I think there is an opportunity for all of us to kind of come together on certain issues. For example, today I talked to a commissioner in Ward 3, which is the Georgetown area, American University area. And they were concerned with DC, University of D.C. being in Ward 3. A lot of the students there don't live in Ward 3. There's not a lot of transportation in that area. They believe it will be more properly be in Ward 8, where it will be easier to get to. And so although Ward 2 and other commissions may not be involved in that, hearing that from a Ward 3 commissioner is a great opportunity for Ward 8 and Ward 3 to put pressure together on all the city council, because there are at-large council members. We're always concerned about our own ward council members. They are at-large, they're supposed to oversee everything. Another opportunity for all commissioners to get involved with is the idea of taxation without representation. Right now, Washingtonians are the only Americans that live in a non-state that pay federal income taxes. And we don't get what we put in. For example, 20 years ago, we went to war in Iraq. Washingtonians paid millions of dollars in tax dollars, but we didn't have an official congressional say in it. And I personally believe we should be able to not pay until we have a say. I'm running for higher office, but those are some things that I believe that all the commissioners, because this is an issue that affects people in Ward 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, that we all can come together and talk about.
In response to that, I see that's strategy. I like that, you know, all ANCs in the city to decide on something, that's strategy that can influence policy. And see, now that would be, you know, if the ANCs were, see, different elements are going to be different to different people depending on different parts of the city. And so what would probably have to happen eventually is ANC commissioners, because we've done solidarity resolutions with 1D, and so it's not a novel idea, but different demographics are going to have different considerations for elements, exactly, because health and wellness, maternal infant death in Eastern River versus Ward 3, where they have enough hospitals, they're not going to demand that kind of equity, so I like your collaborative spirit with that.
I agree with everything that's been said, so let's go to another question.
I have two concerns. One, the quality of the product. The quality of the product being put out. Who was there with this big, massive comp plan? Who was at the table when this 1500 plan, comp plan was put out? And also the statements from the ANC that they were involved very late in the process. I'm wondering, is legal action against the city being considered? Because I'd rather have the comp plan scrapped and then start all over the proper notification than put out a plan just because of the time.
It's criminal. It's criminal. Yeah. And I think there should be press. I think there should be national press on this. You know what I mean? We have lots and lots of people, reporters from all kinds of publications, that what is happening in Washington, D.C. is criminal. And it's my so litigation, I think.
So I might have an opposing view on this. I definitely think that the comp plan can address a lot of needs that are immediate and need to be taken into consideration now. There's so many facts that you could rant off that our communities are hurting, and the comp plan seeks to address that. So even if it does go to get scrapped through litigation, at least it's now is a good time to bring up the infant mortality rate that is across the river that's definitely higher. Those are conversations that the comp plan is reinvigorating and re-bringing up to the rest of D.C. Not just that issue, but tons of different issues. So I think that now the community outreach problem, that has been a continued issue. It is very hard to hear what residents want and what they will need. So that is a complete breakdown, a complete failure, but I do think we need this. I think we do need to have some sort of guidance, and I wish it was delayed and where the community would feel like they are heard. But I hear you there. If you're not heard, you don't wanna continue the process. So
yeah, I don't think there is anything that is standing in the way of our elected leadership creating and implementing good policies. The comp plan is not standing in the way of that. There are not amendments that are critically needed there are amendments, frankly, that are critically needed, but I haven't found them. They're not the amendments that are being proposed in many cases. So I think public participation trumps and any sort of narrative that there's something missing, that we can't have a fair and inclusive city unless we make these changes.
Oh, because like we're running short on time, I can do two more questions.
What I'd like to tie in is the element of the historical preservation, i.e. in Ward 7, the Integrated Design Electronic Academy, they took the name of George Carver down off the school because the people in that are ANC and the stakeholders, whether they happen to be the churches, whether they happen to be the businesses, the names, and I'm wanting to include the historical names, and some people missed it, even the 12th Street Y that they call Thurgood Marshall. I appreciate Thurgood Marshall, but Thurgood Marshall is actually from Baltimore more predominantly. It's Reverend Boyne who established that, and I would hope that in your resolutions, and when we go down to deal with the council members, which is really the big dog, it's not the little dog, that we actually deal with the historical continuity. Nan Helen Burroughs said to us, and I'll just sit down on this, we're beholden to the past, we're living in the present, building the future. Women builders, thank you. I live in Ward 8, and I'm from a stakeholder, Southeast Tabernacle Baptist Church, which basically owns or influences a block in Ward 8, and we also have the Reverend W.W. Blood Way. We hope that people can do that in their respective places. Thank you.
The existing comp plan that was developed in 2006, which Commissioner McWood explained, is was developed from a grassroots up process as opposed to what's going on now, which is top down. It seems to me that there are so many really good concepts in the existing comp plan with just some updates needed. And that's really where we need to go instead of what OP is doing. And one of the things we should all press for with the city council is some way of detaching OP from reporting to the deputy mayor for economic development, which is one of the big problems because OP is not an independent entity. It does what the developers want.
Can I say something?
I wanted to say also, this process, this comp plan process, the city didn't tell us what did work, and they didn't give us data on what did work out of this document that you want us to edit and draft and make comments on. You see what I'm saying? So, that too.
I just want to support what the good pastor said about the empty, uninhabited units in the District of Columbia. I'm Robin Diener, sorry, from Ward 2. The American Community Survey, which I understand is a wholly owned subsidiary of the U.S. Census, reports 30,000 uninhabited units in the District of Columbia. If that is true, then this whole plan is ridiculous and needs to be thrown out because it's 100% built on growth and it sacrifices green space and education and everything else that growth requires, and it's not even true. So, I mean, how would you feel about that, commissioners? I'm sorry, I'm just reporting what I've read, from the American Community Survey, which is under the American Census, the U.S. Census, if that's true, if these units are owned by foreign entities, they're not being lived in because that's not their purpose, to live in these things. And so there is, for some people, a tax benefit, but mostly it appears to be foreign money, and Elizabeth Warren has a plan for it. But anyway, if that is true, we've all been had over the last 20 years.
Thank you, Rob. So why don't we have this be your last response and close out, and maybe in closing out, commissioners, you can ask us as constituents how we can help serve you in your service to us, particularly on this comp plan process, okay? So maybe make a last response and close out with that. Thank you.
Robin's comment is well taken, but it's even worse than that. According to COSTAR, which the D.C. Office of Revenue Analysis through the Office of the Chief Financial Operator.
Okay.
Is it on?
Yeah. Keep going.
Can you?
Go ahead. Keep talking. Don't tap. Go ahead and talk.
According to the D.C. Office of Revenue Analysis, we have more new units than we need for the population and for the population growth that is projected over the next couple of years.
Yes, static.
Okay, now this is on. New units than we have demand for units. And the DC Office of Revenue Analysis prognosticators, independent of the Office of Planning, have been saying since 2018 that the population growth is not keeping up with the supply, that we've got more supply than we have demand. And this notion that the population is growing by 1,000 people every month, it is not true. It's not been true since 2013. And I'm not going to give you all the data right now, but the data exists. This scenario and this narrative that we have an urgent need to create market rate housing is not supported by the data. The urgent need is at the 0 to 50% income level, and private developers are not building that housing. All of these amendments in the comprehensive plan are primarily, when you're talking about housing, they are primarily aimed at streamlining their ability to build more market rate housing. So we've got to be very careful that we don't get mired in all the details and the sidetracks, and we stick to the main themes.
So I would say, right, with the housing piece, the market is flooded with luxury units. There's no housing crisis in D.C. There are empty units in those cities, neighborhoods that they built, Navy Yard, Southwest, all those empty units, that's foreign money parked here. And so, you know, that's all markets, you know, international money. It's a manufactured reality what they're telling you about housing in D.C. Homeless people could be housed. There's plenty of housing. It's the same in San Francisco. It's the same in L.A. It's the same in New York. It's the same in D.C. I would say that as far as getting involved, you know, we have to create a movement that says no. There's a lot of different things that activists and people that are interested in are doing great things in different areas. But as far as getting behind a really equitable and diverse city, takes strategy and work. And it takes work. But I would say, at least come to the ANC meetings. Bring a friend. make a commitment to go to your ANC meeting and then bring a friend and then bring another friend and that kind of thing. And all, and so, and because all politics is liberal, this is it.
Let me just add in response to Chris's question. Come to Ward 3, because I'll tell you, the smart growth coalitions are saying that they are speaking for you, that they are speaking for low-income people around the city. They are not. You need to come to Ward 3. You need to make your presence known, and you need to explain to all the Ward 3 residents who want to do, you need to tell them what reality is.
Which is, if we build more housing, the rents will go down. It's not going to happen. If the market, you know, corrects itself, maybe. But no, that's not true.
Yeah. In terms of engagement, I definitely would say most ANC commissioners, you'll be able to get a one-to-one with them. I'm always down to have a coffee with anyone on any issue. That's what we're here for. Twitter, please come to a meeting. I know some ANCs either by will or by force are now doing live streaming, so you can stay at home in your PJs or cook dinner and still be able to comment on what's going on at the meeting. So definitely get involved in that way. Unfortunately, it takes time and resources to get involved in politics. And so we're trying, or it's my job and our job to make it more accessible. And so I would say I can help you as much as possible, and I'm sure these fine folks are as well. But it is difficult. Bring a friend. Encourage your friends to come. They're not always the most insightful or exciteful, but it's definitely, definitely helpful. So
I want to answer the question that was asked around the number of units that are vacant. For me as a commissioner that's had to vote on matters related to housing, specifically in the last year or so, I would be very upset and would feel as if a fast one was pulled over on me as a commissioner to have to support certain initiatives, specifically a permanent supportive housing project being built. And being told that this is the best way that the city can service these homeless individuals that currently don't have a place to go. And then if you're telling me that there are 30,000 units in this city that are vacant, then there should be no individual in this city that is homeless that does not have a place to live. And so again, I would be very upset, especially from a personal standpoint. My mother was displaced. My mom could no longer afford to stay in this city. And that upsets me as a fourth generation Washingtonian, because my mom didn't have the provisions to be able to purchase the home that we were renting as a kid. So it's very upsetting. And I think that in terms of moving forward, how we ensure we apply pressure around these aspects of housing, the lie was told to us that if we build more units, that costs would stabilize and would go down. The units have been built. Costs have not stabilized. The cost continues to be increased for rent. And so I think that I'll put it out there and say this. This amendment to the comprehensive plan really is to bypass Great Wait. The Office of Planning, BZA, they don't want the ANCs to be able to have Great Wait, because there's a big fight that's ensuing amongst developers, ANCs, and communities. And so they want to take the voice of the people out of the decision-making process. And so that is why it's very important for us to really be strategic about ensuring we're submitting our comments, and that submitting the comments is not the place that we stop at. But I would be very interested to find out if that 30,000 units being vacant in our city is something that is a reality, because if it is, somebody owes us some answers, and there's some people that need to be placed in housing today.
Can I get everybody to pull out their smartphone? We'll give you my phone number. 202-455-6346. 202-455-6346. One last time. 202-455-6346. You text me your name and your email, and all of the things that we got going on around the comp plan, we'll send it to you. Salim. S-A-L-I-M. Right? And so then this way, we can still engage specifically, definitely for Ward 8, but also on the citywide. And then that way we can share that with some of the other commissioners within our network, but we need everybody's input. So that number for the last time is 202-455-6346. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming out. Janice Farabee, ANC 2FO8. I would like to recommend that, as some of my fellow commissioners said, come to meetings, join a committee. I'm the chair of the Public Space and Transportation Committee. So you don't have to have run for office to have something to say. You know, I have a full committee of individuals who most of them are able to be there. And when they're not, you know, we have subcommittees. But just get involved in some way, like you're here today. And then stay in touch, you know, however your commission is able to keep you in touch, whether it's email. Get on the mailing list. Let them have a way to get in touch with you. And then also stay engaged. Like I said, you know, because this is my first involvement with the comp plan, I'm finding out a whole lot of information. And there's a lot of misinformation out there that we are finding out about. Staying in touch with people and organizations like Empower DC, because we do not take advantage of the power of these numbers. I'm on the DC rent, you know, rent control, the DC union, rent control union. We have power in numbers, and we can sit and complain all the time. But if we do not come out in numbers, we should be storming the council. Just stay engaged. Stay engaged after February 14th when this is due, and stay in the commission's face, because things are going on behind closed doors that we never know about until afterwards, and sometimes we don't even know about. But stay engaged, and stay engaged with your commissioners, and keep them accountable. Yeah. Keep them accountable, because all of them are not about the work of the people of this city. So keep them accountable as well. Thank you.
So again, my name is Delia Houseill, and I'm with ANC 7E. First, I want to thank Empower DC for hosting this forum. I also want to thank all of you for just showing up and being actively engaged. And would totally like to just encourage you to continue being engaged. I definitely want to echo what my colleague, Commissioner Farabee, just noted. Engagement is going to be critical, right? Even though we're submitting these resolutions, the fight doesn't stop there. Right, and so we'll need you to kind of sort of serve as our voice when we go to the council. We'll need you to send emails and all of those sorts of things that, you know, will be required to make sure that what we put in the plan is realized, right? And also, and just in terms of what you can do to help out with the planning process, what I tell my constituents is just close your eyes and envision what you want to see your community look like in 10, 20, 30 years. And whatever you see, send that to us in an email. It could be a short sentence, right? Just send it to us. Our email address is 7e@anc.dc.gov, and I better slow it down. 7e@anc.dc.gov, and you can also find out all of our information on the ANC website. And thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys again. My name is Dr. Oye. I'm from 8E01. There's a couple of things we all can do. As ANC commissioners, we need to get out of our own silos. We need to collaborate with each other. A lot of things I've learned from ANC, whether it's cell phone towers being put in our wards, came from somebody else, and it allowed me to learn a lot. Number two, from the community. We need you guys to support your community. Join a committee. Most importantly, demand more from your commissioners. This role can be as powerful as you want it to be, but also as powerless if you don't make us be better. And lastly, when you find an ANC that does good work, support them. Because a lot of us are running for other positions. Some of the commissioners are running for school board of education. Some of us are running for council member. I know I'm running for U.S. representative because I really, really want to fight for our taxation without representation. So if you see someone doing good work, support them. Tell people about them. Because a lot of us have higher goals, and at the same time, be demanding of them. So even if they're not rise to higher levels, they're doing the work that you want them to do.
All right, thank you, commissioners, again. Round of applause. It's up to them if they want to stay until the end, but we do end at 4 o'clock, so we're just going to power right through. Hey, y'all, we're still having a meeting. I'm sorry. So Chris is going to... Okay, yeah, so we're still in the meeting. So Chris is going to talk next, so please, everyone, let's quiet down so Chris can go.
Okay, commissioners, can I invite you guys to join the audience if you'd like? Really appreciate you. Again, another round of applause for our ANC commissioners, okay? No, I like this one. Remember, your ANC commissioners are volunteers, folks. They need our help. As a former commissioner myself, I relied on the people who supported me to get out the flyers, to get out the notices, to get out the word of how the mayor was trying to impose stuff on us. And without my neighbors helping us, we can't do the work. So that's why we're here today. We're going to help our ANCs put stuff in this comp plan that will affect us for the next 20 years, right?
Yeah, take a look at this letter, guys, because my resume, that didn't talk about a lot, but it's actually a great example of a collaborative. Because I hear about freight wages. We use freight wages, and that's what's on there, to say, please extend. Please extend the deadline for the comp plan, you know, for the solidarity or what the principle. And then, one of my commissioners, very, very bright man in education and language, collaborated, he came up with a letter. So to the mayor, and great weight, goes directly to the mayor, and to all the
So, Commissioner Edmondson, can we, if you signed up at the table today, can we email this out to you? Okay, excellent. So be sure to sign in, and you will get this letter. We have that, and we can share it. Sure, Reverend. It's also, if you go to anc.dc.gov, you can get all your ANC contact info there. So let me just put this, if you go, did everybody grab this sheet? This is one of, there's a big packet of information you all got. So this is like comp plan, where to go. Did you see this? Okay. So on this is anc.dc.gov. That's where you can get your ANC information, okay? And also, where are you at? I thought you were asking where you can get the info. I'm not sure. Okay, here's what we could do is we could, if you can do copy-paste, if we have a list of all the ANC emails, like on a page, then you can copy-paste into an email. Would that help? Okay, we'll do that. We could do that. That way you could blast all the ANCs. Okay, no problem. Let's do that. All right, so we're going to move into, just real quick, we don't have a lot of time left for today. You know how these Saturdays, second Saturdays, go by like that, right? I hope everybody appreciated the information from the commissioners. Did you? It was a good dialogue, and it shows the power of bringing citywide ANCs into one singular space to have these real honest conversations. So what Jillian asked me to do was to come up today and share... the gentleman in the purple shirt, you talked about a universal resolution that ANCs could possibly entertain. While we didn't get that to that point by this meeting, DC for Reasonable Development, which is the organization I helped form, we did, using our principles, we did pull together some basic fundamental visionary policies that, if are in the plan, would allow other things to follow for our community. So, and this is something that's like a draft that everybody can use. It's open source. Any group can use it. You can pick and choose, and you can get it out to your ANCs. You can get it out to your civics. You can get it out to your neighborhood groups, okay? I just want to make sure we're still in the meeting, so I just need folks to maybe bring the conversations out up top or in the back, okay? Because we have folks still here listening to this part. So one of the key things I wanted to bring to y'all today is this map. This was brought up by one of the ANC commissioners, I think Japer. This is the future land use map, right? This map right here, let me bring it over. This is the current map. It's not the old one, it's the current map. It was passed into law in 2006. It's been amended a couple times. What do you think the red means in terms of density? It's all downtown. What do you think the bright yellow means? Low density. So from the red to yellow is kind of this set of parameters of how big and dense your neighborhood might go in the future, right? What the Office of Planning has done is taken this map now and listened to developers submit comments and say, well, we want this lot upzoned, right? And we want this lot upzoned, and we want this lot upzoned. There's a process right now that a developer could go through. And Commissioner Holcomb pointed this out, the chair of 7F. If this map is not upzoned, the developer has to go to the ANC and the zoning commission to say, hey, I want to upzone this property and build not what's allowed, let's say four stories. We want to build an eight-story building. We want to go twice as high as what's allowed on this map or on the zone map. So if this map limits you to a low density or, well, that's the high, so you don't have to get any variances. But if a developer wants to build something bigger in the yellow sections, they have to go to the community and get some okay about it. Hey, is this too big? Does it have enough amenities in it for you? Does it have commercial aspects of it that you like? They have to come to you to upzone. Let me just finish this point. So, if this map is changed by Office of Planning, and the yellow goes to, let's say, a dark brown or a red, they no longer have to go to your community to get the okay to upzone. Okay? So this map really sets the community dialogue for you and your ANC to set some needs and desires in these projects as they come up. So what do you think OP is doing to this map right now? If you were to look at this map right now, do you think it would be vastly different? They're right, so all the lighter colors, they're trying to make them darker colors, right? Which means more density, that's all. And so you'll see some stripes in here too. That just is the difference between commercial and residential. But and institutional is the blue and purple. But you can see how important, therefore, this map is in terms of a community dialogue. So what we have is on that where to go. If you go to dcgrassrootsplanning.org/maps, by ward, you can see how OP is trying to upzone your neighborhood. And if they get away with it, then that developer doesn't have to go to your community. All they have to do is get building permits and build that eight-story building where once you could only build a four-story building. You dig it? So it's air rights. It's the air rights value that the city is giving away. So this is an important thing to look at. And I encourage everybody to look at it and get in touch with your ANC to say, hey, they're trying to upzone this. Why are we going to give this away for nothing when we could be asking a lot more? Okay, I saw, Beth, did you want to? It's not a requirement. But the developers know, if we go to the zoning commission and we haven't talked, if the developers haven't talked to the ANC before they go to the zoning commission will be like, look, you gotta go talk to the ANC. And then the ANC will say, well, we have to set up a community benefits agreement. Some say it's like a payoff, but if the community benefit agreement says 30% of your units are gonna be affordable, okay, or the commercial space will be for Ward 8 businesses or wherever it's located, then that's a community benefit agreement that's actually powerful. It's actually setting a future disposition of this site that benefits the community, right?
So upzoning just like entirely circumvents the involvement of the community?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Sir.
I didn't say it before, but I am a nonprofit developer based out of Ward 7. And so what we pushed our ANCs to do is honestly upzone from higher density, but ask for a zoning that's still low density, but maybe going from residential to apartment or to flat. So you still keep it low density, but allow us to allow people to build more density in the same space so you don't change the look of the neighborhood. So that's one thing we asked our ANCs to look at. The other thing is we asked them to put in policy that increases the IZ, so right now it's only 10%, so we asked them to go up to 25%. We've asked them to add job requirements, have to hire from the neighborhood if you're getting federal or district money. So I would actually have to think about those things. If they're going to put some stuff in anyway, how can you benefit your community from a financial or for an economic development standpoint?
Well, there's the difference between a nonprofit developer and these mega international real estate developers, right? Because you're actually thinking about the community. But we needed to get clarity. IZ? And what requirement? Job requirements? Job requirements. So for the community, the people in the community affected actually get the jobs for the project. And IZ is inclusionary zoning, which is this, it's a program that a percentage of any of the new units have to be deemed affordable. But again, we fall back to this problem with the definition of affordable being 60% AMI and higher, which means for people making 65,000 plus a year. Okay, so there's, when we ask for IZ, it's a, you know, the reality is it's not really affordable for most people. Okay?
And also, the IZ, affordability, like Union Market. Oh, Union Market. We talked about the Union Market. There was a PUD. And there was something, what is it, like 8% has to be affordable. And
right.
Out of the 8, 4% has to be 30. It ended up being something like 8 units.
Yeah.
Out of 6,000?
Union Market, there were 20 planned unit developments, PUDs.
Right.
So 20 major projects.
6,000 units.
6,000 units.
Right.
And the Office of Planning brokered 10 affordable family size units. So
right.
10 units that were 3-plus bedrooms.
Exactly.
At 60% AMI.
IZ is very questionable. But I wanted to speak to the FLUMs.
Okay.
In my SMD, well, Commissioner north of me, 14th Street, where the Pan Am supermarket and the Exxon is, this is marked for upzoning. Okay, this can be, and there are commissioners on my commission who automatically said, oh, well, we're going to rubber stamp that. You know, we're having conversations on email, and I was like, well, they included one of my blogs. I said, well, being the commissioner whose SMD that falls in, I'd like to be part of that conversation, which allowed them, you know, we're still talking about it. They're probably going to go for, because that whole block's going to be torn down, you know, but they don't know anything about, like he's talking about air rights and land value recapture and those kinds of things.
Right.
And so back to what can you do as being folks from this community when you get involved and you even represent a different voice, a different way of like, wait, hold on a minute. We're not going to, this. What about this? That's very, very necessary in the room, okay?
Yes, indeed.
And the last thing about community benefits agreements, I have a big project coming up in my SMD, and what they needed, the developers needed the land, an LDA anyway, the Office of Planning or DMPED to amend this land disposition agreement. They had been trying to develop this land for over 20 years, 9 administrations, and it's going to be a big project, but what I did was create language for the office of, for DMPAD saying, conditionally, I support this project on these conditions, and the conditions were that the ANC and the community are involved in every step of the way, meaning designs, meaning scope of work, meaning you don't make any decisions until it runs by. That's the one we did for Meridian Place. Oh, right. And, you know, conditional resolutions is you know, the power that the ANC can do.
We have another question on the map.
Hello.
Hi.
I live in Ward 8, and I live in the 2200 block of Chester, 2200 block of Chester Street Southeast, which is not far, it's down the street. So the way you say they develop their homes, they already doing develop them higher.
Yes.
And what they do, they can get a lot, about half this size, and they can put six or seven houses on that lot because of the way they build them.
Yes.
So we are kind of late on that.
You know, but they want to go even bigger,
This has been going on.
Yes.
Little now homes.
Yep.
Because it's a vacant lot on my street.
Yes.
And they plan to put about five homes on that lot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
we're
going to stop it. We need to stop it, you know, like soon.
Yes. And that's where your council member and your ANC, you really have to reach out and get in touch with them and say, look, we have to set a vision together. Because if this is just going to be ad hocery, then it makes a mockery of the community.
Right.
It's like, well, anything goes. Anything can happen.
But I cannot understand it because I'm in the historical area. And why are they allowing to do that? Because I had, when I moved here, I had to get permission to put windows in my house. So why are other people allowed to put build houses? They should be built like the ones like we in.
A lot of the regs, including historic, have been watered down over the years, right? Just to let this stuff slide through. It's an interesting shift, right? The 90s, early 2000s, the planning officials were like, we just got to get some development going, right? Let's get, tear down the old convention center, put up city center, tear down Verizon, put the Verizon center. All these things around to kind of get the economy going. We're now number one in the nation, real estate. So we don't need to have sliding regulations. We need to have more oversight now more than ever because it's completely a gold mine. It's a gold rush on the air rights and the real estate. And so the people who rent are the most vulnerable, people elderly, most vulnerable, people with disabilities, most vulnerable. The city is not protecting them.
And see, before it's
all... the plan, we got to do that.
Before it's all over with, we won't have to go to New York because D.C. is going to look like New York.
Well, we got to fight.
Because they're already building places, making them look like New York.
Right. Okay, one last question on the map. Did you have a question on the map?
It'll be quick.
Okay.
The current map does not discuss how zoning, the history of zoning and redlining. I think I brought that question up last time. Low density ordinances have often been used to enforce segregation, residential segregation, and if there's a history there. And I just wonder, like, how do you tell the story that, like, as conditions change, the thing that remains the same, though, is the discrimination as far as how people, who's getting displaced or who's allowed to stay or what pricing and various investments in real estate do to certain people and, yeah.
So this is a lot to untangle, and this is just my personal opinion. Redlining is different than zoning. Redlining is, right, banks saying in single family homes, zoning is a neutral term. I look at zoning personally. I look at zoning as a neutral term. It's like a computer. If you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. Okay? The code, the zoning code, like a program, is going to program your neighborhood. Whoever's actually putting the parameters in, if it's a bunch of white racists, you're going to get a white racist community out of it. So, modern zoning, same way. We're hearing Ward 3 be scapegoated for their single-family housing and their segregated community. But meanwhile, Union Market with its 6,000 new units in modern zoning, it's going to be, because of the income gap between black and white folks, is going to be a largely white, exclusive, segregated, brand new community that only white professionals, single professionals, are going to be able